Blog Talk Radio.
Control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't come back. Just praise the Lord. Kiss me. Kiss me. Put them together. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't come back. Just praise the Lord. Fix me. Fix me. Fix me. I believe in blood.
I believe
in the blood. Healing in the blood. Power in the blood. Can't have my brain. No matter the attack, I won't come back. This way. This way.
This means war. Why? Because this is no ordinary service. This ain't no ordinary message. We're not no ordinary people. You got to know that you're a Christ. The Christ in you is the hope of heaven.
me tell a story about a woman who went to I did 12 long years, didn't know what to do. She heard about a man coming through her side. She fell to her knees and crawled on the ground. Oh, this is what she said, y'all. If I could only look at what they give up and thought, I'm going to give it all I have at this moment. I'm going to have to say, oh,
this ain't no
ordinary. Oh, no, 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 no. So
I got. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beast, the Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we truly come with thanksgiving in our hearts. The Word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you for your Word. This Word, Father God, that give us light. And we're able to see. We're able to identify. It's your word, Father God, that teaches us that we are members of the body of Christ according to 1 Corinthians 12:27. I thank you, Father God, for your word because it's your word that teaches us that we are workmen with Christ. We are your workmanship that's been created in Christ. According to the scripture, Ephesians 2:10. I thank you, Father God, that knowing that we're the apple of your eye, according to Deuteronomy 32:10. So I thank you, Father God, for your word, because without your word, Father God, we will never know that we've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer us that live, but it's Christ that lives in us, according to Galatians 2:20. So I thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you for revelation knowledge. I thank you for your truth. Ask you, Father God, to continue to treat us like we're a chosen generation, that we're part of a royal priesthood. I thank you, Father God, that you'll continue to those that minds are open for truth. And pray, Father God, that we become a doer of the word, not just hearers only, but a doer. And we ask these and all blessings in Christ's name. And we say, amen and amen.
Amen, amen.
Awesome. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're talking about this week's review. It's about being blind to God's truth. Not anybody's truth, but God's truth. So that's what we talked about this week, was being blind to God's truth. So it's important, brothers and sisters, that we allow everyone to opportunity to, anything that God put in your spirit this week, or anything that, you know, popped out to you, jumped out to you. I like to kind of use that phrase, jumped out. If there's anything that jumped out to you this week and you want to share, press 1 and we'll let you in, praise God. I may say that a couple of times because it's just that important that we know that this is what God calling us to be. He calling us to be in the truth and in his truth, to operate based on his truth. And with that being said, anyone have any anything you want to share? Now is the time to do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Word of God is awesome, brothers and sisters. I'm going to ask Evangelist William, if she be so kind, to read out of the Messenger Bible to the review. I know Pastor, she was holding her service online as well. So she'll be joining us a little later. So if you'd be so kind to read out of the Messenger Bible, I appreciate it.
Yes.
Anyone have any anything they want to share? Just press 1. Anything you got this week that you want to share? Anything you might have studied this week? Or it doesn't have to be about something in particular, but I would like for it to be about what we talked about this week. But if God put something in your spirit, you can share it. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, our foundation of scripture this week was found in St. John 1 and verses 14. St. John 1 and verses 14. So, I'll read it out of the King James Version, and Evangelist William read it out of the Messenger Bible. It reads like this: "And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
Amen, amen. And the Messenger Bible reads, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, and one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." Amen, amen.
The Word, this very scripture that we talks about, is the Word of God. Now, if you try to use your optical nerve, you won't see this. If you try to use what you feel, what you see, what you think, you won't see this. This is spiritual. Why? Because the Word of God is spiritual. And then too, listen, brothers and sisters, remember we talked about the light coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil? For everyone that practiced, they hate evil, the light. Remember we were talking about that, that the light, yeah, and it have come to the world, but the world don't want it. They don't want the truth, okay?
Amen.
The truth will always expose you.
Yes.
I better say that again. The truth will always expose you. And why would you say that, preacher? Because the word truth, what it means, you know, truth. The truth is going to always expose because the truth agree with reality. The truth,
amen,
is an agreement with fact. But actually, that's what real truth is. Now, I know men have their truth. People have their truth. But let me tell you what. The Bible says Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. I know there's a lot of different truths. But when you talk about the truth, you're talking go no farther than Christ. Can't go nowhere else. Because this is something that won't change. Undisputed. Don't need no correction. It doesn't take any, it's trustworthy. You can stake your life on it. That's what real truth is, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
It's the opposite of a lie. So when I think about truth, Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. It's real as far as God is concerned. Now, the facts that the Bible states, it may not be real to you because you don't see it and you don't feel it. And the word and truth is not based on what you feel. It's not based on what you feel. It's based on facts. You can't go to the judge with what you feel. You know, the only reason I know I'm a child of God, because it's true. The Word of God says, I've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. So that's how I know I've been born again. Well, that's 1 Peter 1:3. Let me tell you where it's at. I got some receipts for you. 1 Peter 1:23. So you can read that, Evangelist William, please. I quoted it, but you can read it.
Yes, Pastor. 1 Peter 1:23. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. Amen, amen.
So, thank you so much. So since we are talking about the new birth, we're not blind to it. Because 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So our new birth had nothing to do with the sperm. Let me say that one more time. The new birth has nothing to do with the sperm. So that's your old life. We're operating in the new life. Don't be blind to that, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Don't compromise the truth, okay? Stop it. Stop trying to compromise the truth. That's not who you are anymore. You believe different. You're in a new arena. You're a new creature. So therefore, you should talk new. You've been born. You got to act like your daddy now, okay? You got to act like your daddy. Don't worry about being forgiven. The Bible says you've been forgiven and washed in his blood, Ephesians 1:7. So don't worry about when sin when Christ or Satan attack you with sin. You'll spend the rest of your life trying to fight sin. It's already done. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. Don't be blind to that. He is your sin offering. Period. Well, but Pastor, you don't know how I feel. I don't care how you feel. If you're going to believe the Word of God, do not compromise. Don't let the Word of God take a back seat to what you feel or what you think. You are just what the Word of God say you are. Now, everybody can't get this. Let me be clear there. And we'll go over some of the things that, you know, we did talk about this week. Oh, okay. I see Pastor join us. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, and here's where it starts. It starts with Philippians 2:5. I'm going to ask Pastor to read that from King James. This is one of our scriptures we talked about this week. It's in Philippians 2:5. Well, I think we read from 5 through 11. So if you will, Pastor, read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11.
Good morning, everyone. Amen. Philippians 2:5-11 from the Message Bible. I'm so sorry, from the King James. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
You have that in the Messenger Bible?
Yes, in the Messenger Bible, Philippians 2:5. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Was those the verses, Pastor?
Yeah, Philippians 2:5-11.
Oh, I'm sorry. Philippians 2:5-11. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privilege of and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having became human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfish, obedient life and then died a selfish, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ, and called out in praise that he is the master of all and the glorious honor of God the Father. Amen, amen.
Amen.
That's a powerful scripture, brothers and sisters, especially when you read it from the Messenger Bible. There's a whole lot of meat there. It starts off by saying, act like Christ, talk like Christ, think like Christ, walk like Christ, and it's okay because Christ did it. He says, go on and think yourself like Christ thought of it. He didn't think it was a problem being equal with God. So why should you think it's a problem being equal with Christ when he's giving you permission to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ? So you have to go through the scripture to find out how Christ thinks, the way he taught. We dealt with some of that this week. But you go through the scripture, and you think like he think, and you talk like he talk, you walk like he talk. And the Bible says, if I'm understanding this right, he humbled himself. He did this willing to give up his right in order So humble yourself to obey the word of God.
Amen.
Become like Christ. You should have a servant attitude. That's what Christ did. Had a servant attitude. Saving out of attitude. Serving out of love. Serving out of love for the people. If you're going to have the mind of Christ, you're going to have to know you ain't going to get a dime for it.
Okay.
Oh, preacher, here you go. I was trying to see what Christ, because I ain't read all the Bible. Some of y'all know probably a whole lot more Bible than I know. But I was trying to go through there to see where he took up offering for himself. You know how these preachers buying stuff and taking up offering for themselves? And I was just trying to see where Jesus did that. If anybody out there know that, answer press 1, because I like to find out. Jesus was a servant, man. He wasn't getting no collection. He wasn't getting a plate. He didn't have a plate for the church and a plate for the preacher.
Amen.
Served out of love for God and for others. Not out of guilt. Not out of fear. So we have to remember that. So you can't choose your attitude.
Amen.
You can't expect to be served, or you will look, for as I'm concerned, you're going to look at this differently. You're going to miss the opportunity to serve others. A lot of times I think about Mark 10:45. We'll go there, Pastor, if you will. Find Mark 10:45. And we'll read it out of the Messenger Bible and out of King James. So if you're finding in the King James, Pastor, Mark 10:45. And here's the point. I just want you to see, you have to serve. When you get the mind of Christ, that mind is not for you to go out here and collect.
Amen.
You know, and act like a preacher, putting on a long robe. None of that. But in Mark 10:45, read that for us, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to go, and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen.
Amen. And the Messenger Bible reads, that is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So that was his attitude. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What's going to be your attitude when you see people that need salvation? People don't always need money or something monetary. Sometimes people need a word, man. How you going to not give them a word? When God puts in your spirit, when he placed in your heart, share word. Tell them Jesus loves them. How you know? Because the Bible told me so.
Amen.
Where's that? Amen. John 3:16. Love the word he gave. Sometimes you have to strike up a conversation. You know? And I never forget. I think it was Evangelist Renee was telling me when she was in, I don't know if she was in Cleveland, Pennsylvania, wherever she was. But it was a constant thing, man, where every time she looked around, she was striking up a conversation with somebody in that building. They wanted to know, how you talking about the Lord like that? And seeing your condition, how you talking about the Lord like that? Well, see, when it's in you, doesn't matter if you're on crutches, doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair, doesn't matter if you're in the operating room. When that thing is on you and it's in you, you're going to tell somebody about Christ because that becomes your attitude. And
Amen.
That became Christ attitude according to Mark 10:45. He didn't come to minister, but he didn't come to be ministered to, but he come to minister. So every opportunity we get, we ought to minister, brothers and sisters. I can give you a whole lot of illustration, but like I said, this is the review, so we're going to continue the review. So he did not give up his deity. Let me say that, because that's important. He did not give up his deity to become a human, but he set aside all of that, his glory. And you know what? And he submitted to the Father's word. He submitted to the Father's will. When would the body of Christ do that? I know you're caught up in your pride and you got this, but when will you make a quality decision that, you know what, this is about Christ, this is about God, this is about his will? So the Bible says that Christ submitted himself to the Father's will, and he limited his power and knowledge. And I like that. Because, see, when you submit to God's will, you limit yourself to things you could do in the flesh. And you say, you know what? This ain't about me. And then you be like Paul. To live is Christ. To die is gain. So your attitude change. You know it ain't about you. You know it's about helping somebody else. You learn to submit. And that's probably a subject that a lot of people don't want to know, want to talk about, because they don't want to submit. That's why a lot of folks ain't married, because they don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to the Word of God, because the Word of God says to do that, and they don't do it. But Christ limits his power. And he telling us this over there in Philippians 2:5 through 3:11. That's what he's telling us. That was one of the scriptures that we dealt with. We didn't really get into it a lot, but I'd like to share a little bit more about that scripture, because there's so much to unpack there, because Jesus showed us everything about God's character, everything about what God expected us to be like. And the only way we could get that message is through Christ disrobing himself of his divinity and act like a man. And he was not allowed to use all of that stuff he could have used. He could have spoke the word, man, and all heaven and earth gone. He didn't use none of that power. Everything he used was what we have.
Amen.
Everything that we have, or everything he used, is something we have. So when I think about trying to explain the incarnated and all of that, I go no further than St. John 1:1-14. So you see that the Word of God became flesh. One more point I want to make about that, and we'll move on, because these verses are probably from a hymn sung by the early Christian church, people say. But the passage holds many parables to the prophecy of the suffering of a Savior, according to Isaiah 53. So when I read this and I see that, we can actually have the mind of Christ. We can talk like Christ and think like Christ, and we don't have to feel like we're robbing God. You ain't robbing Christ of nothing. Oh, you can't put yourself like that. You can't make yourself to be that. Yeah, that's what he said to do. He said have his mind. Yeah. So when I tell you it's okay to act like a man, like act like Christ, it's because I got receipt. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. We've been reconciled to God. And you are a minister of reconciliation. That's who you are. That's what you are. That's what you're to do. Matter of fact, you know what? I think I like to read that out of the Messenger Bible as well. Pastor, read 2 Corinthians 5:18-19 from King James, and then Evangelist William, read it out of the Messenger Bible. People, catch this nugget. This is a nugget now.
Amen. Corinthians 5:18. You said 18 and 19, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen.
Amen, amen. And the Messenger Bible reads, all this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. Amen, amen.
Now, I know that's going to be deep for some people, so let me go ahead and make it real plain for you. That's what we are supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be telling the world that God said, become my friend. I'm already your friend.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
It's ministry to tell the world that he has reconciled us. It's paid. The debt is paid, man.
Amen.
Well, our job, according to the scripture now, he gave us this ministry. This ministry. I know people got all kind of ministry. You got bus ministry. You got usher ministry. But these are real ministry right here. This is the ministry the Bible said God gave us.
Yeah.
And when you think about reconciliation, it's really the act of becoming friend or friendly after a disagreement. Well, sin had us to disagree with God. But now... But now, God has put peace there. He's putting acceptance there. Doesn't matter what you did now. I know folks don't want to hear that, but it doesn't matter. We're being reconciled now. That's what reconciliation is. Restore. God is restoring the friendship. He's bringing harmony back. See, we was at disagreement because of sin. Sin wouldn't let us agree with the word of God. Well, just like right now, sin, you know, a lot of folks don't believe that we're partakers of a divine nature. They don't believe that. They don't believe that we're the salt of the earth. They still at odds with God. They don't believe that they're a chosen generation. They're at odds with God. They don't believe you can die out of the old man and live until this. They ain't believing that. They're at odds with God. So our job is to teach people that, hey, Ephesians 1 and 4. Read that for me, Pastor. Because I know they don't know this. So they're blind to the truth. So our job is to open their eyes to this. Yeah, that's what we do. We're to make harmony. We're to tell people, hey, God has restored the friendship. It's been resolved. Be resolved. Don't you love it? All the lies, all the conspiracy, all the stuff that's been said, forget it. God said, hey, we friends again. We done kissed and made up. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen.
Amen. And the Messenger Bible reads, long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind. has settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
He already did this. It's before the foundation of the world. He calls
amen.
Us to submit. God is saying, here's what I'm giving you. Accept it.
Yeah.
And listen, brother, a lot of people are blind to the word of God. They don't know, and I'm going to say this. I hope y'all follow me, follow my understanding here. Because I saw this on the internet. A lot of people don't know what their work is. They don't know. So what this man did was, Doris said, when you graduate, I'm going to give you this car. I know it's a little older, but I'm going to give it to you. And she graduated, and he gave him the keys. He said, now, first thing I want you to do is go down there to that car lot and see what they'll give you for it. So they went to the car lot. The car lot said, well, I'll give you $1,000 for it. She said, $1,000? He said, yeah, that's all I can give you. So she came back to her daddy. Said, you're just going to give me $1,000. He said, okay, go down to the pawn shop and see what you can pawn it for. So he took the car to the pawn shop. The man said, well, I'll pawn it to you for about $150. She said, you're only going to give me a pawn for $100? He said, yeah, because it's old, you know, it's old. So she went back and told her daddy. And said, daddy said, okay, they're having a car show over there across town. Go over there and see what they'll give you that car for. She went over there, and she said, anybody like to buy this car? People just swarmed her because it was a classic. It was something that they only made a couple of them, the way the doors fly up and all this good stuff. So this one guy said, yeah, I give you $100,000 for it. And the girl just knocked out her sock. So she went back and told her daddy. She said, they weren't going to give me $100,000. He said, let that be a lesson for you. Everybody don't know your worth. So because people don't know your worth, because people don't know who you are, ignore those people. They just don't know. See, because everybody don't know the truth. So don't feel some type of way because the pawn shop was only going to give you $100 or they was going to only sell it for $1,000. Know your worth. And the only way you're going to know that is to get in the Word of God and know that's what the Word of God called you. No, that way you can know that, hey, I've been justified. I've been made right by the Word of God. See, your security should be in the Lord. You should think like Paul think over there in Romans 8. He said, I ain't going to let nothing separate me from the Word of God. Not mountain. So he knew his word. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, as believers, know that you don't have to listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry trying to condemn you. Know that you're the very righteousness of God. That's how God see you. God see your word. I guess tomorrow is the story. The girl kept the car.
Amen.
It wasn't for sale.
Amen.
See, God put righteousness in you. He did that before the world began. He wants you to be his friend. He don't care what you've done in the past. Matter of fact, read Philippians 3:14, Pastor. Read Philippians 3:14. I'm going to tell you what to do with the past. I'll show you what to do with the past. See, because Satan, that's all he want to do is bring up your past. I was sharing this with somebody this morning. He don't want to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy. And every bit of that, that's all he's trying to do. If he can't kill you, he want to destroy you. And if he can't destroy you, he's going to steal what you got. That's what he comes to do. Kill, steal, and destroy. So he wants, if he can get what you got. And I'm saying why? Because he knows your worth. They know what you worth. He know what you mean to God.
Yeah.
And if you get out here and start reconciling people back to God, like to call on your life. Now, I just didn't see, I probably need to go back and read that again, because I know it just didn't say Pastor Bale.
All right, amen.
That might include Pastor Beasley, Evangelist William, Evangelist Sharon, Evangelist Renee. I don't think that meant for one person.
Amen.
Amen.
Minister Robinson. I don't think that these are the only names on here. Okay, Brother Johnson. No, these ain't the only names on here. I think they're talking about everybody.
Everybody.
You're a minister of reconciliation. You're supposed to be telling the world, hey, God is your friend. He wants you to come on back home. He wants you to come on back home. Let's settle the difference. What did you do? Well, I smoked crack. Don't worry about it. God gonna forgive you. I was a whoremonger.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. God forgive you. Come on back home.
Mm-hmm.
Let's reconcile. Yeah. Let's make friends.
Yeah.
He will
forgive
you and never keep score. Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Don't be trying to keep score. Don't be like that man talking about, man, I ain't letting you do nothing. That woman said, oh, yeah, I know something. You ain't going to let me get away with it. You'll divorce me. Because he said, I ain't going to divorce you. I ain't finna pay all that alimony. I ain't finna pay that child support. You can't do nothing to make me divorce you.
Amen.
So he was asleep. He was asleep, and she had another man down there. He came downstairs, and he saw her. So he went on back to the bedroom. And so when the man left and everything, she said, ain't you ready for a divorce? He said, no, I owe you one.
Amen. Oh,
man. But see, when you commit it to God, it don't matter what happened. You ain't going nowhere. God said, this is what David said now. David said, if I made my bed in hell, God's going to come there and be with me.
Amen.
You don't know where God can't go. You can't go in that much sin that God won't come in there and get you. Can I raise my hand, huh? I'm a witness. I don't care where you go. God can find you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Find you. He loves you just that much.
Yes.
See, y'all didn't want to preach up this day. But anyway,
thank you.
You find that scripture, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. Philippians 4.
No, 3.
Philippians 3:14. Please, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And Messenger Bible reads, I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
I ain't turning
back.
I'm going to keep pressing. This is a pressing way. Every time Satan jump over, hey, man, I took the shield of faith and put it up there. Now Satan, you're a liar. You're a liar. My God is not like that. My God is mercy endure forever. Isn't that what we talked about Friday?
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And wherever
forever.
I go, good and mercy is forever.
Yeah.
It's a guarantee. Surely. Surely.
Yeah.
Goodness and mercy. And goodness ain't coming. Mercy is coming.
Yeah.
And truth is coming.
Yeah.
Remember we had this song? Well, we might as well go there, and then we'll just open it up again and see if anybody else have anything to say. But I think that was in song, and we ain't going to review everything, but I think it was over there because there's so much more I want to cover, and we probably will this week. But I believe that was Psalms, I want to say it was 85. That was one of the Psalms. But Psalm 85 and verse 10.
It was. in verse 10 said, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Amen.
Amen. And the Messenger Bible reads, love and truth meet in the street. Right living and whole living embrace and kiss. Amen, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what we got going on. We got mercy and we got truth.
Yeah.
They following us. God is on your back. God is on your back. He's following you. It don't matter where you go. And his aim is to teach you the truth, brothers and sisters. We didn't get into all the truth, but this is not the end of it anyway. You know, because like we said, we're talking about real truth. We're going to talk about truth of the spirit. Because the Bible says, when he, the spirit of truth, has come. See, he don't always come to us at the same time. The spirit of truth may come to you when you're reading, I don't know, say John 14, 17.
Yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, we'll read that. Because, see, everybody don't realize, they just think everybody got the truth. No, when he comes, he may come to you on Monday, may come to that one on Tuesday, may come to that one on Thursday. You may be in your Bible reading something. And the spirit of truth to come to you. And boy, you'll get a whole opening to your way of knowledge or your way of understanding. That truth will come to you that way. In other words, God will reveal it to your understanding. So when he comes, he's going to come for you and you alone. Woo! I just find so much joy in that. When the spirit of truth comes, that's not to the whole world. I'm talking about you individually now. But read that for us, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. John 14:17. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he knows him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. Amen.
And the Messenger Bible reads, this friend is the spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. Amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. See, when the spirit of truth is there, you couldn't believe it because you was of the world. But once you got born again, once you began to accept whatever the word of God say, and you stopped fighting him and start agreeing with him, and he came to you, look what happened. You began to receive it.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you can't receive it, it's because you're still in the world. Because they're the only one can't receive it. Now, if you were worldly minded, like when I be telling people about the church, I know they can't receive it because they're worldly minded. They're of the world. They love the world more than they love Christ. That is the truth.
Amen.
I don't mind being acknowledged that I'm part of his spiritual building. Built up on spiritual things. Right? I don't have a problem with it. I don't mind being his husband tree. I don't mind that. I don't mind being a labor together. I don't mind being called God's temple. Don't bother me.
Hallelujah.
I don't mind telling the people I've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. That's a curse. I'm redeemed from that garbage. I am his building. I am his temple. God can count on me being a spiritual house and part of his holy priesthood. He can depend on me. God can depend on me to worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't have a problem with it.
Amen.
I have run with God, depending on me being part of the heavenly vision. I don't mind being called a holy brother.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I don't mind Christ being over my confession. What comes out of my mouth, he'll honor it. I don't have a problem with that. Preach. I'm trying to do the best I can. See, I don't have a problem, brothers and sisters, with telling people what Romans 8, 38, 39 says. I don't have a problem with that. You know why? Because I know I'm in Christ. We'll read that. And then anybody have anything they want to say after this, you can say that. Anymore, just press 1 again. Somebody press 1 down, but if you have press 1, just press 1 again. Romans 8, 38, 39.
Okay. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, is that Romans 8 and 39? Or?
No, Romans 8, 38 and 39.
Okay.
Romans 8, 38, 39.
Okay. Romans 8, 38 and 39 in the Messenger Bible reads, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's deep, brothers and sisters. We won't get into it today, but see, ain't nothing going to separate me from where God wants things done, according to his word. Enough money. I ain't finna sell out like that, now that I know the truth.
Amen.
Anyone? Anyone else? Anyone? Press 1. Hallelujah.
Pastor, reading that scripture from the New Living Translation, it says, I am convinced that nothing
Romans 8.
Ever.
It's Romans 8.
Yes.
Okay, Romans 8.
38 and 39 from the New Living Translation. It says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I hope y'all understand that, is that when you're in Christ, there's nothing can separate you from that. I don't care how many accusers you get. I don't care what sin say. Matter of fact, he went on to say, it don't matter what life say. It don't matter what death say. There's not an angel, because it is the angels with the S, rulers.
Yeah.
Amen. The forces can come Ain't nothing going to separate you from the love that God has for you in Christ. So that love that God has for us is in Christ. I don't care how high you go. I don't care how deep you go. Doesn't matter. The love that God has for us is in Christ. So jump in and get it. Jump in Christ and get it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the truth, brothers. It's all about being in Christ. Thank you. Anybody else have any other scripture you want to share? Hallelujah. I want to say one thing then before we close. Brother and sister, this review is for all of us. And not that feelings have anything to do with it, but it would bless me to know that this whole week went by, and this is not a knock on anybody, and especially that of Evangelist William, can't knock on nobody. But there are others that I just want to speak directly to. Know that this is your review. This is just as much as your review as it is Evangelist William, Pastor Beasley, and my Pastor Bale. This is all of our review. This is a review of what went on this past week. And I would like to think that you got one scripture. I would like to think you got something that when we do the review on Sunday, somebody will have something to say. I mean, it would be a blessing for me to know that, man, somebody got something out of the lesson. I labored, and I'm not laboring for money. Matter of fact, I'm not laboring for your high five and amen and all that, because those that know me and know my mannerism and know my doctrine, I don't teach people that they have to say anything. You want to say anything, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. But I offer the opportunity, and I would love to know that some of you guys have gotten something this week. Just share what it is. You ain't got to be afraid of me saying anything that's negatory, negative, or any of that. That's not who I am. The only thing I try to do, and I've been doing, and I think I can get an amen from Evangelist Renee and Evangelist Sharon and Pastor and probably Evangelist William too. Those that have been here knowing for years and years and years and knowing that I will direct you in the way of the word. That's what I'm going to do. Tell you what the word says. Now, how you accept it is not, on me.
Amen.
I think it was Evangelist Sharon, it was years before she would even say anything. She would listen every day, faithfully. No matter what was going on, she listened. And then from time to time, we discussed some stuff off air. Then finally, one day, God gave her enough nerve to get up and say she was going to start reading. She started reading. I remember that.
Yeah.
I forced her, then put pressure on her. Or any of that. And the same thing with in the rest of you all. When Lord put something in my spirit to share with you, I do that. But it's not to be forceful. But it's to be inside the Word of God. Like, I had no idea that God was going to tell us about the word of reconciliation. That's our job. I just said to somebody this morning, your job is to be to reconciliate people. I didn't say it in that way, but mean same thing. I told him this morning. I said, you know what? God expect that out of you. He expect for you to share that word with somebody. Tell somebody. God ain't mad at them. He don't care what you did. He said, come back home.
Yeah.
But I just want to put that out there. I don't know. I just live to say that. And if anything from wrong, somebody going to correct me now.
You're not wrong, Pastor.
Amen.
But and I probably say the same thing about it's a lot of times, sister, people that don't know this. Evangelist Renee been here, she go weeks and weeks at a time. months at a time. Don't say nothing. And she got one of the most powerful testimonies as any evangelist sharing that too. I mean, these people got powerful testimony. Powerful.
Amen.
I love them. I'm just saying, their testimony alone, somebody be reconciled to God. Because all they got to tell them, hey, I went this, I went that, and God still did it for me.
Amen.
But they on here, they don't say anything. They don't mean they on here. Minister Robinson, he on here in and out, all the time. But that don't, I mean, there's a lot of people on here in and out. I can give y'all a list of folks. I ain't trying to expose nobody. I'm just simply saying, because I have a lot of people respond to me through the email and through the broadcast, especially those that's online. I remind her, Sister T, you know, finally when she started talking, I couldn't shut that motor off.
Amen.
I'm not saying they all agree or disagree or whatever. I mean, there's Evangelist Ursula. She get on here, and the Lord leads her to get on here, and she get on here, and she lives in California. And Sister Laura, too. So you got a lot of people in and out. But I don't force anybody to say anything. That ain't not who I am. So if the devil say that, he lying. So that's not who I am.
Amen.
I share the truth with people and tell them, God said it, not me. See, so when you read over there in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, you know that wasn't me. I didn't say you're a minister of reconciliation. I didn't say that. The word of God said that about you. Now, you accept it or not, that's on you. I didn't say that. The word of God said that. But I did do this. I repeated that. I repeated what was said. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Because I had to tell me, listen, you talking about you didn't say that. You did say that. I said, no, honey. I repeated what the word of God said. The word of God said, 1 Peter 2:5, we are living stones and being built up as a spiritual house. God's building a spiritual house. Do I expect everybody to understand that? No. Should they? Yeah. Would you like that? Ooh, I would love that. But everybody ain't spiritual.
Amen.
So you know, just don't expect it. So if God move on your heart to share scripture, that's on you and your God.
Amen.
And I think we have a better relationship when you're obeying the word of God. But we're going to get into some more truth on next week. These are just spiritual truths that other people may not know. And then if you come up with some, share it, but all I can tell you, don't be afraid of truth, because it will set you free. And one scripture said to make you free. So, you know, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Talking in tongues is a different language. Then you may have a different perspective about it. Because we've been taught so many lies. A lot of people think talking in tongues is talking in an unknown tongue, and you can do that. The Holy Ghost doing that. See, people just read the word of God wrong. It didn't say that. So when I explain that to somebody, they got angry with me because I'm trying to share with them that tongues is just another language. And they got all bent out of shape and think I was trying to denounce them. No, I wasn't doing that. I just simply told you what the truth is tongues is a language. And if it's unknown, it's because I don't know it. And if you know it, that's fine. But if you know that unknown, then you can interpret it. Then you need to be somewhere else and not here. Because you ain't going to say something and then say, this is what it means. You're not going to put that Donald Trump stuff on us. We ain't having that. You ain't going to tell me something and this is where I want to change it. That ain't finna happen here. Not now, not ever.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You ain't gonna tell me shuba shaw shaga shuba shu shu and this means pastor give me $100. No, none of you ain't finna do that.
Amen.
Especially to speak English. When you can speak English, then talk to me in my tongue. That's the tongue I'm used to, English. Tell me real plain in English, and we can roll from that. Okay, anybody else? Because y'all know I just go here and I could, but I get real loose up in here. Anything anybody else like to share? Okay, any praise reports? Pastor, I noticed you come in on a couple of people this week. Heard anything? Everything going good? We'll continue to pray. I didn't hear you.
I said we're going to continue to pray.
Okay, for those family, I made a list of them. Okay, that Pastor Doris family, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Well, hey, if not, we'll see you all on tomorrow for the word at noon.